Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hand together. Come on, put your hand together. I want to take your mind back to a hill called Calvary, where Jesus died, paid the price for your sins and mine. Anybody here know he died for you? I want to get the fruits of your lips. Do you know he died for you? I want you to know it's rather the spikes that they put in his feet that held him to the cross. It wasn't the spear that they speared him in the side that held him to the cross. Can I get somebody to say yes, dear? I want you to know it wasn't the nails that they nailed in his hands that held him to the cross. But when that thief has come down and saved himself, I want y'all to know the light that it was love. And let me hear you say, love. It was love for the prostitute. It was love for the drug addict. It was love for you, you and you. If you know it was love, put those hands in the air. We come tonight to tell you it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, but it was the love of God. Come on, Mississippi man, just tell them. The nail that held him to the cross. He could have come down, but my soul still goes. Hallelujah. The ransom was so high, paid off. He wasn't. If you believe that, put your hands together.
Yeah.
Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning and blessed Resurrection Sunday, everyone. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, April the 9th, 2013. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by some beautiful and anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Apostle Zeta Flowers. So on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive, we would like to welcome you, our family, and our friends to this morning's resurrection service. Now at this time, we are going to ask that Minister Tina Brown come forth and open our worship service in prayer.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, just giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for our worship service today, Heavenly Father, on Resurrection Sunday. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us and rose again so that we may be saved from our sins, Heavenly Father. We lift up the service today. We lift up all the listeners who are listening today, that they may receive a message from you, Lord, and be able to come to you and want to know your Son, Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father. We lift up the message that Apostle Cook will be giving to us today, that it may touch us and give us some spiritual food to be able to take us through our week, Heavenly Father. And we just lift up Apostle Cook to you as well as she delivers the message. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory, and we thank you for this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Time to dance.
hallelujah, and glory to God.
Glory.
Thanks to God. We are here to celebrate. He is risen. Glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every week, we ask the devoted and highly esteemed mother of our church, hallelujah, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come. And she reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Praise God.
Good morning and blessed Resurrection Sunday to everyone, no matter how near or far. I love each and every one of you. The meditational reading is entitled The Reason for the Resurrection. We'll be looking at part of Romans 4 and 25. And it says, who, and then in parentheses, Jesus, was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because occasion. Now, the Bible tells us that Christ was delivered up for our sins and raised from the dead for our justification. You may already know why Jesus died for our sins, but do you know the significance of God raising him from the dead? Let me give you an illustration to help you understand the significance of Jesus' resurrection. Let's say, that you are living in a foreign country. One day you happen to break a major rule of the land. You appeal to the king for mercy. He says, a rule is a rule. I cannot bend the rule for you. What will others say about my integrity? However, if you can find a substitute to take your punishment, 3 months in jail, I will allow it. By God's grace, you find a willing substitute. He goes to prison on your behalf, and you don't see him for some time. Days, weeks, and months pass by. Now, how or when will you know that your crime has been fully paid? When will you be able to rest easy regarding your crime? It is when you see your substitute walking free again. When you see him out of prison, you will know that the sentence has been fully served. You will know that you are now justified, and no one can bring a charge against you for your old crime. No longer will you be afraid of the king or his guards coming after you, because you know that the one who was punished in your place is now walking free. Beloved Jesus, your substitute and our substitute paid the debt you could not pay. On the cross, he bore the sins our life. God put it all on Jesus, and then he punished Jesus for every single one of those sins until he was fully satisfied. And because he was so pleased with what Jesus had done, he raised him from the dead. Today, Jesus' tomb remains empty. He is not there, for he has risen. His resurrection and empty tomb will forever be our assurance that we have been fully justified. You may no longer have to be afraid of God judging you for your sins. His justice is on your side today. May God add favor and blessings to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. the today. Jesus' resurrection and empty tomb will forever be our assurance that we have been fully justified. Amen and glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. My hope
glory
is built on nothing less,
nothing less
than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Hallelujah.
Right.
It is now prayer time. Here's the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time, hallelujah, when we come together as a family. And we pray for our brothers and sisters all over this world. We are standing in the gap, praying for the needs, trusting, believing, and expecting God to do exactly what he says he will do. Hallelujah. Because the word of God says, if I abide in you, and you abide in me, you can ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When the word of God also says, hallelujah, he says, seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And we believe that here at Spirit Alive. So right now, I want you to just clear your mind, bow your heart, and prepare to go to prayer with our anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Hallelujah. So every knee bowed, every eye closed. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room.
Amen. Amen. God bless you each and every one, and happy Resurrection Sunday. And we praise God today for Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. Amen. Let us go to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Let us bow our hearts and our heads. Father God, we come to you. We come to you again, thanking you and praising you, praising your holy name. We thank you for this blessed day that we are celebrating your life, the giver of life. We thank you so much for giving us life. We thank you, praise you.
Lord.
For your goodness,
Lord.
For your mercy. We thank you for choosing us, Lord. Hallelujah. When we didn't know to choose you, we thank you because you chose us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Father God.
Lord.
And as we are in prayer in the throne room of grace, we ask, Lord, that if there's anything that is displeasing to you and us.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for being our forgiving God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. We thank you that we were able to come to you in the pardoning of our sins.
Yes.
And our lives changed. Hallelujah. We thank you for that today. Hallelujah. We thank you for all that you're doing for us, all that you have done, and all that you continue to do for us, your children, because you never change. You are always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you. We thank you, hallelujah, that you're unchangeable. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you. And Father God, we pray this morning for our country, and all the other countries across the nation, all over the world. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily, supernaturally, God.
Move, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord, you know all about it, the chaos. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord,
the hatred. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would move. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That you would change the situation all over the world. We lift up our country's leaders, and we lift up leaders all across the world in the name of Jesus, that they would submit, hallelujah, to you, hallelujah, and to your leadership in Jesus' name, that you would somehow get their attention, that they might know, hallelujah, that they're not in charge, hallelujah, but you are. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, do it, God, in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that you might bring about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not only in our own country, but across the nation. In the name of Jesus, we're praying for grace and mercy over the nations today. Oh, God, grant us the love and the patience to work together in your vineyard as a family, as the family of God. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And Father God,
Lord,
we lift up those to you that need a healing this morning. They need to be comforted. They've been through many battles. And many are still going through, going hungry. We ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would pour your compassion in the name of Jesus, that many will be touched on this day. We pray for your hand of protection in the name of Jesus,
Lord,
that you would protect those, Lord, that are weak in the name of Jesus, those that are vulnerable, those that have no hope, those that are so dependent on others, Lord, that hurt them. We pray for them to be released from this kind of bondage. We pray, Lord, that you would help them, that you would bring them out in the name of Jesus and bring them in to a better situation in the name of Jesus. Our trust is in you, God. We're looking to you this morning because we know that there is hope in you, Christ Jesus. We know that you love everyone. Hallelujah. And we pray, Lord, for your hand to be upon them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, those, Lord, that are stuck and who feel like there is no way out, we pray, Lord, that you will help them, that you will bring them out, God, in the name of Jesus,
Lord,
from all kinds of situations, sickness, in the name of Jesus, touch, Lord, heal. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. We speak deliverance. In the name of Jesus, those that are yet in bondage to drug use and alcohol, we ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that somebody will reach them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. With your holy word, the good news of Jesus Christ, that they will know you, that they will be willing to change, to give up. Hallelujah, to repent in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And those, Lord, that have strayed away, we ask, Lord, that they will be led back into the fold. In the name of Jesus, touch, Lord, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Help this generation to know that we're not in a helpless situation because we have you.
Yes.
And we pray, Lord, for those that are struggling with all kinds of things, Lord, trying to make a living. We pray that there will be open doors of employment for them, Lord. Hallelujah. That they may be able to meet the needs of their families. And we just thank you. We pray, Lord, for those that are in jails, juvenile halls and prisons. We pray, Lord, that they will hear your message today in the name of Jesus and that they will be touched and that they will be desiring to change and to turn away from their wicked ways. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that there will be a release of those, Lord, that will accept you, that will desire to walk upright before you. In Jesus' name, that you will help them to be free, free to live for you, free to serve you, free to do your will. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we pray for our children. We pray for them in their schools, in their homes, and everywhere, in the name of Jesus, you will touch
Lord.
The children. That you will save the children in the name of Jesus from the enemy's clutches in Jesus' name, that you will save in the name of Jesus and bless those children to have what they need, the love and the trust from other grown-ups, Lord, that they won't be stuck in situations that hurt them. We pray, Lord, for your help today in the name of Jesus. We pray for our families today. Pray that you will step in the family unit, Lord, and bless, raise up the heads of the household, teach them your way, and the mothers, that they may raise their children in the knowledge of you, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will know who you are, that they will have great examples in their own families that live for you, put their trust in you, God, for their families and for themselves, in the name of Jesus. We pray for husbands and wives. We pray for the married ones. We pray that you will bless them, Lord, in their marriages, that you will strengthen them. And we also pray for those that are single, those that are desiring to be married. We pray, Lord, that you would teach them, first of all, your way in the name of Jesus, and instill in them, Lord, what it's all about, what marriage is all about,
yes,
what true
Lord.
Love is, in the name of Jesus, so that they really get it, Lord, that they would know your way, hallelujah, and not in the way that they think. We pray for your hand touch in these areas, in Jesus' name. Touch, Lord. Have your way. We lift up Spirit Alive Ministries, and we ask, Lord, that
bless
you would continue to bless,
yeah,
if you do, in the name of Jesus. We pray for every leader that's connected. Pray for other ministries, churches.
Yeah. Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for them, Lord, that they would continue to be strengthened.
Yes,
they would continue
Father God.
To be walking in your ways, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Walking upright before you.
Yes,
that others
Lord.
Might also. In the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God. Do it in the name of Jesus. Move
yes.
in the church.
Yes.
Move in areas, Lord, where people are not being taught your true word. We pray that you would make changes in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and
Father.
And we thank you
yes,
for
Lord.
It. We thank you
yes,
for
Father.
It.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, if there's any sick among us today,
touch
we ask,
right
Lord,
now.
That you would touch, that you would heal in the name of Jesus. If there's any
yes.
that are in need of a breakthrough, we pray
yes,
for that to
Lord.
Take place. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, and whatever your people stand in need of today, listening in on this broadcast, we pray that you would touch in the name
touch
of Jesus
yes,
right
sir.
Now,
yeah.
in
yes.
Jesus' name, whatever the need might be,
yes.
we ask, Lord, that you would grant it. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And those that don't think they can make it, we pray for them, Lord. They can
yes,
make it. They can
you.
Make it with your
yes,
help, Lord.
Yes,
in the name
yes,
of
yes.
Jesus. In Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you for
thank
what you're
you.
Doing right now. In
right
the name
now.
Of Jesus. Throughout the body of Christ. Throughout the world. We thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Yes,
and we praise you
yes,
for all that you're doing. We thank you for mending the brokenhearted today.
Yes,
we thank
Lord,
you for
thank you.
For those, Lord, that are grieving. We thank you
yes.
for your hand touch. We thank
yes,
you for
Lord.
Your comfort in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Yes.
And we praise you and thank you for this day that we're celebrating
yes,
your life
yes.
in the
yes,
lives
yes,
that you have granted us. We thank you for it. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody clap your hands. Of God, and the words I speak will make it so. I will see the goodness of God, and the life I lead will indicate my hope. Hope for a future, not yet a thing, but the evidence will be my living faith. I will see the goodness of God. Amen. Yes, I will. Thank you, God, for breath in my body. I will see the goodness of God, and the words I speak will make it so. I will see the goodness of God, and the life I live will indicate my hope. For the future, not yet a pain, but the evidence will be my living faith. I will see and live. Your power will meet me at the point of my need. And no matter the road, as long as you're there, my destination is victory. You are my life, and the gift of your spirit is dwelling inside of me.
I will see
the goodness of God. All creation will declare God is good.
Hallelujah. It is how many know that God is good all the time. Hallelujah. We just glorify our Heavenly Father this morning. Hallelujah, saints of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, happy Resurrection Sunday to you. It is now time for this morning's message. But first, I just want to give all honor and glory to God and to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to the anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, and to all of you, God's elect. Good morning and blessings to you and your household on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. And thanks God, if you would like to study more about the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, you can find an account of it in every gospel. You can go to Matthew chapter 27 and look at verses 27 through 44. You can go to Mark chapter 15 and look at verses 16 through 32. Or you can visit Dr. Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 43. And then, of course, you can check with John in chapter 19, chapter 16 through 27. But thanks God, just like last week, we will not be turning to any of those passages today, because our main scripture, once again, is going to be found in the book of Acts. And I will be looking at verses 8 through 12. That's the book of Acts, and we'll be looking at verses 8 through 12. If you are listening to me via your computers or smartphone and you don't have a Bible, you can just type in BibleGateway.com and then go and then type in your search engine Acts chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 12. And while you're turning there, I would like to have a short word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are to us. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you died and you rose for us. So, Lord God, I pray right now that you would use this message to edify your saints, and that you would use this message to draw, because you said, Heavenly Father, if you be lifted up, you would draw all men into yourself. So, Lord, just empty me. Let me decrease completely so that you can have all the increase, all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And it is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray it all. Amen. Now, saints, we praise God that he loves us so much that he sent his best, his only begotten son, Jesus, to be a sacrifice for our sin. And we praise Jesus because he loves us so much that he gave his all. He gave his very life so that we might eternally live. So on this Resurrection Sunday, my question to every blood-washed believer is this. Are you truly living a resurrected life? Are you compelled to live your life in a way that the whole world knows that you're no longer living for yourself but for Christ? Are you dying daily to self, taking up your cross and following Jesus in a way that all will know that you are living a resurrected life? Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. 2
Corinthians 5:14 through 21 says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So I ask you, this morning, this Resurrection Sunday, are you living a resurrected life in a way that tells the world that you're not living for worldly gain or fame, but you are striving for a heavenly inheritance? You see, 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, an incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Are you living a resurrected life? Well, what does it mean to live a resurrected life? What does that look like? And how can we know that we are living one? Well, praise God, this is the focus of our teaching today, because I want everyone to leave here knowing that when we are living a resurrected life, people, situations, and things change. See, we will see a lasting difference in our homes, on our jobs, in our schools, in our churches, and in our communities. Now, you know, I never, ever, ever, ever try to make assumptions. So I may be overstating the obvious here when I say that before we can live a resurrected life, we must first become one with our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We that live a resurrected life are bona fide believers and followers of Christ Jesus. Uh-huh. See, we've asked and we have received forgiveness of sin, and we will continue to do so whenever we fall short. Why? Because we have made Jesus the head of our lives, and we believe, we behave, and we obey as a child of God should. For you see, when we profess to be Christians, we're living a resurrected life, what we're telling the world is that our entire existence depends upon Jesus. Because living a resurrected life says that Christ is our Lord, our Savior, and our sovereign leader. And we are committed to following him for the rest of our lives. You see, we're going to do what he says, how he says, when he says, whenever
he says. Amen.
So now, I want to share with you a few examples of what living a resurrected life looks like through the Apostle Paul from our passage in Acts 19:8-12 today. Let's look at that scripture. And the word of God says, "And he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them."
Amen. Yeah.
Okay. I get it. See, thanks to God, when we're living a resurrected life, we learn how to be boldly persuasive with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the word says, "Paul entered the synagogue and he spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God." Now, notice, I did not say that Paul was arrogantly persuasive? Or argumentatively persuasive? But he was boldly persuasive.
Yeah.
And so here's a loving PSA for some of us that profess Christ, but sometimes we might not show it a whole lot. Let me explain something to you. Just because we are Christians, that doesn't mean we always have to be right. You know, sometimes it's really, really, really okay to say, I don't know.
Don't know.
Because if we were going to keep it all the way 100, as the young people say, if we're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, if we're going to keep it real, and I do mean really real, sometimes some of us tend to get way too dogmatic and arrogant about things that we know very little about. But please don't miss the importance of being boldly persuasive. So how does being boldly persuasive manifest itself when we're living a resurrected life? Well, now there's a number of things we could say right here, but I just want to direct your attention to two of them that I learned from Paul through this passage. Number one, it manifests and we do it by becoming diligent students of God's word. Hear me. Paul didn't wait for some magical or supernatural infusion of knowledge that would cause him to know the Bible. He wasn't expecting to learn the Bible by osmosis. No, Paul was a student of God's word. He had studied the Old Testament thoroughly, even before he received Jesus on the road to Damascus. However, he didn't stop studying. He didn't stop digging deeper into the things of God. So if you want to really see some changes in your life and know you're living a resurrected right life, read the Bible. Get to know God's word and learn to apply it in your life so that you can then turn around and effectively relate it to somebody else. We need to be able to tell the word of God clearly so others can understand it. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3 and 15, he said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So we have to be students of God's word. We have to keep that reachable, teachable spirit. We have to stay humble. We have to be asked God questions. We have to talk to him. We have to stay prayed up. And secondly, we've got to stay as full of the Holy Spirit as we possibly can, especially in this world today. We can't read the book of Acts without seeing people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were bold, and they were persuasive as they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me walk you through a few of those verses, as a matter of fact. Yes, I want you to see what I'm talking about. In Acts 1 and 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Acts 4 and 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Amen.
Acts 14 and 3. Said, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. How could they do that? Because they stayed filled with the Holy Spirit. Not filled with themselves, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Not filled with their ideals, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Not filled with their agendas and opinions, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are more verses like these that show us how we can become boldly persuasive. And we just looked at two of them. One, we must stay in the word. And two, we must stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because only God can make us all we need to be for other people. And what we need to do is always settle down, open up our ears, and let him give us the knowledge, power, and boldness that we need for what he's telling us to do. Which brings us to point number two. And I heard Apostle Zeta say this just this past Wednesday. We must remain flexible as we follow the Lord. Amen. Verse 9a, but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. In other words, Paul shook the dust off his feet.
Yeah.
And kept it moving. You see, there's not a whole lot to say here. Paul faced opposition from his own people almost everywhere he went. That's why saying to God, when you're living that resurrected life, do not be surprised when some of your very own family members will give you the worst opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But just
Amen.
Like, you know, but just remember Paul. Paul was teaching about Jesus in the Jewish synagogue in Ephesus. And some of the Jews who belonged to that synagogue began to hinder his ministry there. And of course, I suppose it was no surprise to Paul, but saints, can you imagine the mental and emotional processes Paul probably went through during this time?
Yeah.
People were hearing the word of the Lord, and many decided to follow Jesus. People were coming to Christ. They were making him their Lord and their Savior. They understood that he was the Messiah. But could Paul still have become discouraged when some of the Jews started spreading damaging rumors about Jesus and the people that followed him? Now, I may not have been there, but I'm pretty sure he was more than a little bit troubled by it. But did that stop Paul? No. Paul simply redirected his ministry efforts and left the synagogue where he was being slandered. And look what God did. He still used him effectively. Listen, family, we may face times when we need to reevaluate our direction. We might just need to go up there and say to the Lord, now, Lord, I'm pretty sure you called me to do this, but things just aren't working out the way I thought they would. Sometimes we need to go up there and just ask God, Lord, is there something more I should know? Or Lord, do I need to try something different? You see, saints, we can't be afraid to ask God to do a reset. Because when we're living a resurrected life, we understand that sometimes we may need to redirect our ministry efforts. Sometimes God will say no when we ask him, you know, is this the right thing? Or sometimes he will say, just stand. So you know what we have to do? We have to just hang in there. And we have to keep trusting God. And we have to keep doing our best to serve him and help other people while we wait on the answer. But there are times when God will put something new in our heart. And he will lead us in a new direction. And that brings me to our third point. Because I'm going to tell you what happened with Paul's new direction. Saints, when we're living a resurrected life, guess what we do? We learn how to utilize our surroundings to spread God's word.
Yes.
Verse 9b says, he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, little is known about this teacher by the name of Tyrannus. The name actually means tyrant and may have been a nickname assigned to the teacher by his students. Now, Tyrannus likely used the lecture hall in the morning hours when it was the cool of the day, you know. However, it was always available in the heat of the day when most people were enjoying lunch or taking siesta. And Christians or prospective ones who came to these discussions may have worked in the early morning hours, just like Paul did. In fact, his tent making probably enabled him to pay the rental for the lecture hall. And after working several hours in the morning, Paul's students were able to engage in religious instruction for a portion of their day. And they took their faith very seriously. And they were willing to give God every waking moment of their lives.
Yes.
Now, Saint, we need to understand that every community has a lecture hall, so to speak. Where in your community can you have daily discussions about the Lord that will help others hear about it? Just think a moment. Where can you talk to others about how good God is and what he wants to do in the lives of his people? Well, sometimes our discussion is over the fence with a neighbor. Sometimes it might be at a coffee shop. Sometimes it might be at a grocery store or a post office or some other chance place. Wherever it is, I think the Lord is calling us to be even more intentional about talking about him. I mean, really, do people really know who you trust in? Do people know that you live your life for Christ? Do they have any idea of how awesome Jesus is? You know, we often talk about how important it is to simply live a Christian life and let people see the Jesus in us. Well, that's very true, and I don't want to minimize how important that is. But at some point and at some time, people need to also hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, by the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Yes.
Verse 10 says that all the Jews and Greeks in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Okay. Oh, yes, it was very obvious that Jesus was all in, over, and through Paul. It was working in his life, as we see in verse 11 and 12. But that was to confirm God's word, not to replace it. See, we have to do more than just live it. We've got to give it a voice. We've got to give it hands and feet. Now, let me propose another idea in relation to using our surrounding to spread the word. I believe that God is using churches, he's using homes and ministries to serve the purpose of the lecture hall. And those that live a resurrected life know that we must be open, loving, and accepting. Hear me, loving, open, and accepting if we want to be successful. Think about it.
Amen.
Christ met us where we were, so we must do the same for others. We can't expect people to come into our midst and become like us before we accept them. No, we accept them as they are, and then we try to help remove any of those obstacles that would hinder them from hearing the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I know Apostle Zeta, Mother Mitchell, and others have been successful in using their homes to facilitate discussions. There are so many creative ways just waiting to be used. Minister Tina, she uses her place of business to facilitate these discussions.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Some people have started Bible studies in their home. Some people go out and rent buildings. Some people just use whatever they have available to get out the good news about Jesus. Now, I might have it what I call my gospel on the green. See, that's where I have a big barbecue where not only the gospel is heard, but all the donations would go to a different sector of the community, like the homeless, like cancer awareness or the Children's Miracle Network. Others have had block parties where they throw a big barbecue and invite all the people on the block to come. And that was done by networking with other friends or neighbors and asking them to help do certain things. So we were getting this spirit of unity flowing up around here.
Yes.
But hold on. I can almost hear your mind turning. You're thinking to yourself, now look here, Apostle Cook, I can't do all of that. Okay, you don't have to. Maybe you feel more comfortable just inviting somebody over for dinner. So, beloved, that's what you do. You know why I say that? Food is spiritual. Somebody needs to say amen. Food is spiritual. I'm telling you, we can be real with one another when we are sitting around the table, when we're just relaxing and being ourselves, and we're just talking about the goodness of God and what he's done in us and for us. Hallelujah. That's a good time when we're sitting down breaking bread.
Yeah.
So let's continue to evaluate our surroundings. What can we do to more effectively spread the good news about Jesus? I mean, come on, saints. We've got the best message ever. There is hope in this life, and there is hope in the life to come. We need to really, really, really get the word out in a relevant way that reaches the people of this time. Right about now would be a good time to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, as we show and tell people that Jesus can, he will, and he does make a difference in every life that calls on him, and every person that calls on him. Mm-hmm. He makes a difference in this world, which brings me to the final point. And I like this one. See, when we're living a resurrected life, we can be used by God to do extraordinary miracles. Hear me now. When we are living that stomp down, bona fide, sure enough, sold out, resurrected life, we can be used by God to do extraordinary miracles. Look at verse 11. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Thanks to God, I've been in church most of my life, and I'm still just longing to see those extraordinary miracles being done through ordinary people by an extraordinary God. I'm waiting. I can't wait. I just want to see it. I just want to feel it. I want to experience it. We've seen so many flash in the pan preachers and evangelists. You know, I mean, so much so, some have turned the power of God into a sideshow. Or maybe even a freak show.
Yeah.
Some of them have forgotten who is supposed to receive the glory, who is supposed to receive the honor, who is supposed to receive the praise, who is supposed to get the applause. I love to hear of miracles that happen when a child prays. You know why? Because it doesn't go to their head. They just pray their little prayer. They just go on their simple trust, just knowing their daddy in heaven is going to take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God wants to do extraordinary miracles right here through Spirit Alive. Mm-hmm. I believe he's doing extraordinary miracles right here through Spirit
Amen.
Alive.
Amen. Yeah.
But you know what we do here at Spirit Alive? Also, we always remember who gets the glory. We always remember
Amen.
Who gets to pray. We always remember that we are not here to be served, but we are here to be a service to the Most High God. And when we do that, we can be bold and pray with the authority God has given us. And we don't have to try to be somebody that we're not. God
Amen.
Wants to use you in your personality, you with your gifts. And he wants you and he wants me to pray for people to be healed. So
yes.
We need to get all this trying to pray like, you know, this one and that one and being like Deacon because he sounds all, you know, spiritual. or, you know, we're going to pray like the TV preachers pray. No. All we need to do is bow our hearts and sincerely go to God, simply being our authentic self. Family, we need to take the authority God has given us, just as Jesus gave his disciples authority over evil spirits, and be all that he wants us to be as we minister for him. Remember, it's never about us. It's always about Jesus. Verse 11 does not say that Paul did extraordinary miracles. It says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul.
Oh. Amen.
And what was the result? Hallelujah. People were healed. People were delivered from evil spirits. People, hallelujah. People were raised up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, living a resurrected life means allowing God to work through us.
Mm.
But we're always quick to give him all the honor, glory, and praise. Oh, hallelujah. Because when we give it all to God, God continues to give his all to us. And I guarantee that we'll see even more miracles flow through our lives.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Because
Amen.
Miracles are God's grace in action. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Miracles are God's grace
Amen.
In action.
Yeah.
People need to know that God is real, and that he can change their lives. That he can take a mess and turn it into a masterpiece. This is why God wants to do more miracles than ever before through those of us that truly love him and we're obeying his word. As members of the church, each and every one of us, we need to model what it truly means to live a resurrected life in Christ, which means we should be believing, we should be trusting, we should be behaving as Christians should. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because our example will have a powerful effect on others. Because
mm-hmm.
it will make the gospel become so much more relevant, meaningful, convincing, and desirable to them. Let each and every one of us radiate the joy, the confidence, the love, and the warmth of being a part of the true church, being a part of the body of Christ. We need to be reaching out in friendship, just as Apostle David prayed, and reaching across party lines, reaching across the nation. We need to love our neighbors, especially those of other faiths, so that we can help to build greater harmony in our community. Because we need to remember, saints, too often our behavior is a bigger deterrent to others than our doctrine is.
Mm-hmm.
So in the spirit of love for all men, women, and children, let us continue to help them to understand and to feel accepted and appreciated. See, here in Spirit Alive, not only do we accept you, we love you because we will honor you. We accept you. We pray for you. Hallelujah. If you call me,
Amen.
I guarantee you I'll pray with you and lift you up. We'll encourage you. We'll help carry your burden.
Amen.
That's what living a resurrected life is all about. And as we close today, I pray that you are living a resurrected life in such a way that there will be no doubt that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And I pray that every person within the sound of my voice has asked Jesus to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future. And I'm praying that you have and you will continue to trust him enough to receive his forgiveness. I pray that somebody today has made Jesus the leader of their life. Ha. And now your one desire is to follow him and obey his holy word. And if you haven't done so, I pray that we all pray that you will do that today. See, maybe Resurrection Sunday is a real good day to get right with God. Maybe today is the day You will start your journey to living a resurrected life by first making Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior and your sovereign leader. We are victorious because we're living a resurrected life. So thanks to God.
Amen.
Family of God. Hallelujah. Let's learn and help others learn to be more boldly persuasive when we're sharing that gospel. And let's continue to be flexible enough to allow God to redirect our ministry if we need to. And then let's learn even more how to utilize our surroundings to spread the word of God, because we want everybody to hear the word of God. And then we need to just stand back, hallelujah, and watch God begin to do extraordinary miracles through us as we begin to live for him. The more we live that resurrected life, hallelujah, the more we have the ability to bless, to raise up the spirits of others, hallelujah, to raise up the countenance of others. That is our purpose.
Amen.
As children of God.
Yeah.
We don't learn to follow Jesus so we can walk around being all pompous, throwing the scripture around, beating people over the head with it. That is not why we call ourselves Christians. We don't have to go around telling people what they need to do. Trust me, if someone is living in sin, they know that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
We don't have to. We are not here to point out somebody else's wrong. We're here to tell somebody what's right about Jesus. Hallelujah. We're here to proclaim his goodness. Hallelujah. And he's so good, I'm going to live my life for him. He's so good, I got to celebrate him every day. He's so good, he's going to remain my rock of ages, because Jesus is the only one that saves. Jesus is the only one that gives us the power to live. Jesus is the only one that can heal, restore, and transform our lives, hallelujah, into something glorious.
Amen.
Yes.
If we just trust him to do it. Stand still and know that he's God. And let him work through your life. You know, some of us get too busy. We want to do a whole lot of stuff and end up doing a bunch of nothing.
Amen.
So, saints of God, I want you to sit with the Lord. Meditate on his goodness. Begin to formulate how you can effectively share that with others. Use your surroundings. You don't have to wait until you're the speaker of the hour. You're the speaker of the hour wherever you go. The moment you open your mouth and you begin to profess the love of Jesus, when you begin to talk about the grace and mercy of Jesus, honey, buddy, you are the speaker of the hour. And you can be in the grocery store. You can be in the post office.
Yeah.
You can be under a bridge. You can be on the corner. Honey, you can be anywhere.
Yeah.
That you are touching the life of another with the life and the love of Christ.
Christ, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, this morning, I pray that my message has blessed you. I know it is not your typical Resurrection Sunday message, but I'm a peculiar person. So, I tend to not do what everybody else does, because we're trying to see people change. We're trying to see people get healed and grow and to be delivered. So
Amen.
Right now, I just want to thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for what he's doing in my life. And I thank God for all the beautiful servant leaders that work together with me in love and unity and in faith to carry out this mission of proclaiming the gospel. Now,
amen.
At this time, I'm going to ask that Pastor Vanessa Carver, she does a beautiful job every Sunday. I'm going to ask her to come in, and she will seal this message with prayer. And then I'm going to have my sister, Evangelist Kathy Horton, one who perhaps I will have her come, and she can lead us in the prayer of salvation. But if not, hallelujah, I know the Lord will make sure. And then followed by, and then after that, we're going to have a word from the bishop, because we really care about the men of God here, and we want to just give you a special word on this Resurrection Sunday. And if you are in the house and you are here in the studio with us, if you would just like to have a word of prayer, praise, you have a prayer request, you want to wish everyone a blessed Resurrection Sunday, just press your one, and we will allow you to do so. So at this time, would Pastor Vanessa please come forth?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that message, Apostle Cook. That was a message that God gave me this morning. It wasn't your message, but he did talk about resurrected life. And I thank God today for taking it to the next level on this Resurrection Sunday. It's not the typical message, but it's needed. And I thank you for being obedient to listening to his heart and his mind and what you delivered. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, today for this message. We thank you, Father God, that the words of the of mouth and the meditations of our heart will line up with your word and be satisfying in your sight. Thank you, Lord, today that we will see and stop and take some time today, even though many of us are busy, family and stuff, pay our attention about what it is to live a resurrected life. It's not a complicated thing. I thank you, Lord, today that we begin to, maybe for some of us it's going to be a bright new beginning. Maybe for some of us it's going to be about addressing wounds and things of that nature to make us better servants to the body. Maybe it's about us stepping out in faith and doing something that God's been leading us to do. But whatever it is for you, just yield to the Holy Spirit. Submit to the Holy Spirit. I pray that this word will encourage you and become fruitful. I also pray, too, that it'll motivate you to be closer to the Lord, to understand the sacrifice that was made before us before we were in our mother's womb, that we would be saved, that we will walk according to the book, and that we will be in agreement with him in all things, even the hard things. And I thank you, Lord, today for refilling the vessel. I thank you for strengthening her, Lord,
and supporting
her, Lord, that will be something that can be measured. Lord, let us just remember this word today, how you speak to us specifically and how you speak to us collectively about a resurrected life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, on this Resurrection Sunday, I got to yield to the Holy Spirit. Apostle Zeta. Apostle Zeta is the founder and the apostle of All Nations Christian Fellowship in Oakland, California. She's also my friend and my mentor and one whom I love deeply. So on this Resurrection Sunday, the Lord said, would you please honor us by extending the invitation to, hallelujah, take Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Apostle Zeta?
Are you asking me to? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, Apostle Zeta.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise our living Savior. We thank God for those that are ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You have heard a beautiful message today.
Yes.
And allowing us to know that God has extended his invitation to all people. no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what your race, creed, tribe, or anything like that, he desires that we all come to know him in the pardoning of our sins. I'm going to lead you into a prayer. Praise God that you might accept him openly in your hearts today and be saved. Just repeat after me. Father God, I realize and know that I am a sinner.
Yes.
A savior.
Yes, Lord.
We all have come short of the glory of God, all of us, because we all were born in sin due to the fall of Adam and Eve. But he has given us, Jesus has given up his life for all of us. He came and lived on this earth that we might be saved. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly. And you need to know today that he is the giver of life. Jesus
yes,
is because he laid down his own life for us because he loved us just that much.
Yes.
Now, just pray along with me and repeat after me. Father God, as I come to you knowing that I am a sinner needing a Savior, Lord, I pray that you would accept me this day and allow this day to be the day of my salvation. Please forgive me of all of my sins and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, I choose to accept you this day that my life might be changed, that this may be a new day for me, a new beginning for me, a new start, as well as a change, that I might be a new person in you, Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
That all of my old ways will be passed away, and that I will be now able to accept the new that you have in store for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen
and amen.
Amen.
Now, if you are
now
prayer,
saved.
Go ahead, Apostle.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer in any form, shape, or fashion, if you were sincere in your heart, then you need to know right now you are saved. Hallelujah. You have moved
amen.
From death into life. You have a new home. You have a new destination.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the Lord, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And it is our fervent prayer that you will join with a body of believers that truly love the Lord, that will accept you, will nurture you, love on you, help you to grow in the things of God. Now, we have some guests in the sanctuary this morning that have their hand raised. We're not forgetting about the bishop, but we're not going to make our guests wait. So right now, I'm going to address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number, area code 415-9967. Come on in the room. Hey, put your praise on.
Hi. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Thank you.
I just... To wish you all the very, very best today, and I really appreciated the message, especially the part about having people over and, you know, communing together after hours. Now
amen.
We're all dressed up for church, and, you know, we're all putting on airs if we do.
Amen.
And I just wanted to say I love you all, and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh,
thank you, Brother Martin.
We love you, sweetheart. God bless you. Anyone else want to put their praise on it this morning? You're more than welcome to speak. I'm not going to put anyone on blast because I don't want you to feel like you have to say something. But if you would like to say something, you are more than welcome. But in the meantime and in between time, we're going to ask our mighty bishop to come on in the room. And he has a special word for the men on this Resurrection Sunday. And following that, I will dismiss you. Hallelujah. Bishop?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life.
Amen.
And we want to understand as men that we've been called to a special place in our relationship with God, because we have to understand that it's only God that promotes. It's only God that elevates. It's only God that establishes us and gives us a place of privilege in this life. I want to look at this particular verse in Psalm chapter 75, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." And when we submit to God in our life, God is the one who promotes us. God is the one who establishes us. And so we need not look to the east, nor to the west, nor to the south, but we look to the north, where God's throne is. And we bow down to God, submit to him, and we submit to the authority of his son, Jesus Christ, and make his son, Jesus Christ, our master, so that we can live that more than abundant life and know that whatever God has called us to do, he's called us to be victorious and to overcome and to take the meaning for his kingdom on earth, because it's God in Christ and Christ in us reconciling the world back to God. I just want to thank Apostle Cook for the message this morning and for her allowing us to see how important it is for us to live that resurrected life and put God first, that we can be promoted by God in a way that we don't have to ever worry about that promotion being revoked, because who God promoted.
Amen.
Pulled down.
All right.
That's the word to the men today, Apostle Cook.
All right. God bless you, mighty man of God. We appreciate it. Hallelujah. We are truly blessed, and we are grateful to God for each and every one of you that joined us here today in the sanctuary, that joined us via your computers and via Skype and Instagram and the Blog Talk chat room. We want to just thank you. And we just say we praise God for you. We pray God's continued blessings upon you. Now,
yes,
may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Until we gather together again, may you have a beautiful and blessed week. From on behalf of myself, once again, that is Bishop Lester and Pastor Vanessa Carver, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, hallelujah, Evangelist Kathy Horton, and of course we want to just praise God for all of you that listen. So, thank you, God. Continue to have a beautiful and blessed Resurrection Sunday. It is our fervent prayer that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household of faith to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. But remember, God loves you, and so do we. Hallelujah. Have a blessed week.
Amen.
From all of us here at the Spirit Alive Ministries Network. God bless you, everyone. I love you, my
Amen.
Beautiful family.
God bless
Hallelujah.
You and thank you. Love
God
you
bless
all.
You all.
Bless,
bless
you,
Marty.
Love you.
Bless you all.
Love you, guys.
Amen. Love you.
Love you. Love you, Lee and Terry. Love you, guys. All right. Thank you, Jesus.
All right.